I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be out all week coming up. He's going to be getting some formation from Father Ripperger on spiritual warfare. I'm glad to be back from the funeral yesterday, and we're going to have a great show today. Father Charles Murr will be joining me. But I also want to just mention that I have such a good news story that's going to blow you away in regarding to abortion. And I'm going to tell that story in a little bit, but it's so inspirational when I hear a priest go out to these clinics and do the work that this priest did. And I won't tell you right now, but trust me, you're going to love it. Father Charles Murr, are you with us, my friend?
I am.
Thanks be to God, reporting for duty. Father, I am so glad you're here, because today I want to really share with our listeners today a little bit about your life and the work you're doing as an author. Many of the people who have heard you for some time really don't know a lot about you in the sense of your call to the priesthood, and we're going to get into that. And then next week, I'm going to have five fantastic priests talk each day about their own vocation, because I want to lift people up in the faith right now when we've got a situation where it's kind of depressing sometimes. You see what's going on in our culture. But you know what's not depressing? Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because what do we say here every day? We want to help you with your relationship with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, to get you to heaven. That's what ultimately matters, not who's in the White House, not who's, you know, baseball season started up. Who cares? I'm sorry. But at the end, it really doesn't matter. What matters is saving your soul. So, Father Murr, what we do, and you know, each day as we take the gospel of the mass for that day, for Friday, which is Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 to 23. We've all heard this gospel for our whole life, but I would like to ask you if you could read that to us, please, and proclaim it.
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Father, let's go ahead and talk about that gospel.
That's a beautiful one.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful one. I go back. The first time that I really heard it, other than attending Mass with my parents, was in first or second grade.
Yep.
And I remember it being explained to us. Mm-hmm. Explained to us then. Mm-hmm. What always impressed me is that the sower is God, mm-hmm. and the field, the land, the dirt, is man. This is man. Man is not the seed. The seed is the law of God, the wisdom of God. But the man is the ground, mm-hmm. is the dirt, which is exactly where man comes from, right?
Amen.
Remember,
of course,
in Genesis.
Sure.
All right. Did you know, by the way, that the word hummus, you know, people eat hummus?
Yes.
That's the root of the ground.
I did. Yes.
Ground and yep. And also also man. Well, you know, because you're Lebanese.
Absolutely.
You've got a good Arabic background.
Yep.
The readiness to receive the word mm-hmm. depends not on God. And not on everything else surrounding it, but on the soil, on man himself.
Mm-hmm.
How disposed is man? And I've said this maybe many times to you. I've said it all through my life because yes. I've experienced it. It's not that people hear the word of God, hear God's invitation, and reject it. Because they don't understand it or they don't like it mm-hmm. or it's not that. It's that conversion insists on a change from us.
Amen.
We have to change.
Amen.
And nobody wants to do that, or very few want to do that. They don't want to give up what they've got. And Christ insists on that. You have to let go. You have to let go of those things. Sometimes even those people.
Mm-hmm.
That are detours that are detracting, that are keeping you away from God. When the soil is disposed, in other words, when man is disposed, the word of God can yield 100 or 60 or 30 fold. This is marvelous. That's what it's saying anyway.
Wow.
Part of it.
Father, let me just jump in because it made me think of a Don Bosco, St. Don Bosco comment. And he says, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are.
There
well,
you go.
Nailed it. Now, Father, before I bring in the smartest guy in the room, I want to point out something that today, July 24th, is St. Charbel's feast day. He was a monk, and again, Lebanese monk. He was born in 1828 and died in 1898. He was a monk. He was ordained in 1858. He was very devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He spent his last 23 years of his life as a hermit. Despite many temptations to wealth and comfort, he taught the value of poverty, self-sacrifice, and prayer by the way he lives, something that we could learn from him. And Father Murr, I have a very interesting story. Before I tell the story, I'm going to mention we have a Melkite priest coming next week. He was personally involved with a miracle, and that's a teaser for next week. You're going to hear a miracle that took place with a priest here at our chapel in Covina. He was in Florida, and he's going to tell you next week the story of how St. Charbel healed a man who was dying of cancer through his relic. But here's the kicker that I always tell about St. Charbel. Father Gabriel, who will be on, knew this story. It's well known. Back in the 1980s, there's a great shrine in Lebanon to St. Charbel. And Father told me he used to go there as a little boy, but everybody would know it. And even Muslims would show up at the St. Charbel shrine. And there's many beautiful testimonies of conversions there. But here's the kicker. What happened was in the 1980s, there was a family with four or five children who came to the shrine. And it was, you know, like a midnight and knocking on a door. And a monk was going to answer the door. I was like, what can I do for you? And they said, well, listen, Jesus Christ revealed himself to us. We want to become Christians, and he's formed us, and we really want to be baptized. So would you please baptize us? He said, wait. The monk says, time out. Tell me again what happened. Tells him what happened, that our Lord appeared to their family to say that I'm the true God. Okay, so let me ask you a couple questions, the monk said. And he found out that, hey, these people know the faith about the Eucharist, Our Lady. So he said, okay, I'll baptize you, but come back for the 8 o'clock Mass tomorrow morning so you can receive Holy Communion. Is that fantastic? So he takes the whole family, baptizes them, and they come back around 7 in the morning, all excited because this is going to be a beautiful time where they can receive Holy Communion. And
wow.
They went to the monks and said, yeah, we were just baptized last night. And the monks said, wait a minute. What do you mean you were baptized last night? We didn't see anybody. Nobody came to our door. Yeah, one of your monks opened the door, and he baptized us after we told him what happened to us. They said, wait a minute, let me check the book that registers all the baptisms. They look, and they say, yeah, this is your name, you know, 12:30 in the morning? Yep. And who's the priest? Charbel. And the monk says, he did it again. I said, what? In other words, St. Charbel came back from the dead to baptize those Muslims who want to become Christians. This is a story that just blew me away, and I wanted to share it with you. And next week, you'll hear more stories about St. Charbel from a Melkite priest who grew up in Lebanon. Father, we're going to bring Bishop Sheen right back after the quick break, but I want to also remind everybody that next week, Jesse will be in formation for the whole week, and I'm going to be having five different priests on to talk about their vocation to the priesthood, and I hope it inspires even one vocation, one young man who says, I want to do that, because you know what? We're here to inspire you before you expire. Yes, we want to help you fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Why? Because life is short and eternity is forever. I want to also thank a family who just this morning I was talking to them. They sold a house and they're donating money to all these nonprofits. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. We're painting the church. We're doing all kinds of investments in the studio here. And they're donating $5,000 to help Virgin Most Powerful continue our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ and his bride to the church. Like I say, when we come back, you're going to have an interesting partner on the train with Bishop Sheen. It's going to be a Benedictine monk, and I tease you with it. You're going to say, wow, that was a powerful reading the monk was telling Bishop Sheen. So Bishop Sheen's going to bring a friend on the train. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is also going to be sharing his vocation onto the priesthood with us when we come back. I hope this inspires you again to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. If you have questions, call me, 888-526-2151. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, welcome back. Terry Barber with Father Charles Murr. Jesse will be out until next week. He's on a retreat with Father Ripperger, learning more about the spiritual warfare aspects of the faith. I wanted just to mention, you, for those who see me on YouTube and Facebook, I'm standing. I've been told it's better that I would sit, but I have a hard time sitting for anything, so I'm going to keep standing. I wanted to bring in the smartest guy in the room, because that's Fulton Sheen on that choo-choo train. He has a Benedictine monk who's the author of a book called The Journal of a Priest at Prayer. And it's When Heart Speaks to Heart. And I think you're going to find that this is a powerful, powerful statement. And you can see why Bishop Sheen wanted me to have this being read on the radio. Here it comes. He says, more good can be done in a single hour of adoration than 100 days of uninterrupted preaching and apostolic labors. For when you are with me, I am working for you. Father Murr, that statement to priests in that book for priests by a Benedictine monk is so similar to what Fulton Sheen says about how we have to have a great love for the Blessed Sacrament. Have you heard that quote before, Father Murr?
Actually, no.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm hearing it.
Okay. Well, this
it
is
surprises
a
me.
Yeah, this is a book.
I keep thinking that I've read everything by Sheen.
Yeah.
And I find out that I haven't.
Well, this isn't from Sheen. This is from a Benedictine monk. I have the copy of his book. It's S-I-N-U and then Jesus. How would you pronounce that in Latin? Sinu?
Do that again.
S-I-N-U in Latin.
Sinu.
Sinu Jesus. When Heart Speaks to Heart. A Journal of a Priest at Prayer. It's a Benedictine monk, and these are reflections for priests. So I got it from actually Bishop Strickland from last week's radio show. He tweeted this and said he's encouraging priests to make daily holy hours. What a novel idea, Father. Bishop Sheen talked for 50, 60 years telling priests to do that, and now Bishop Strickland is picking up that same theme, the daily holy hour for priests. Father Murr, before I get into chatting with you about your own vocation, I got a great news story, because this should lift everyone up in our listenership. This is about an abortion appointment stop after a priest makes the sign of a cross with the Blessed Sacrament over a killing center. I have a picture of it from LifeSite News with a little canopy where the priest has got the Blessed Sacrament in Nebraska. He's joined together in adoration for the Blessed Sacrament. And then he, at one point in the prayer, Father Michael Voltor, the founder of the Leader of Ablaze, made the sign of the cross over the abortion center with the Blessed Sacrament. And then Father also prayed the St. Michael prayer written by Pope Leo XIII. And then he recited the Litany of the Saints. I mean, he did an amazing event. Dr. Patrick Castle, the founder of the Life Runners, told LifeSite News that their goal is to end abortion. No! He pointed out how listen to this statistic, Father and everybody, this is sad. 1 in 3 women in America have had an abortion. 1 in 5 conceptions in America end in abortion. Castle said that abortion takes more lives than all combat casualties in the history of our country. And I like what he says. He explains the fight to end abortion is a spiritual war. He said, we did a holy battle there, he continued. I love this. We pushed back demonic to claim the space in the Lord's name. Castle hopes to memorialize the unborn who have been slaughtered there at the abortion center. I like what he says here. Abortion is the greatest weapon of mass destruction. It is the leading cause of death on the planet. He said that the Holy Eucharist, the most powerful spiritual weapon, was used to fight abortion during his July 16th rally. He says, the ground is blessed now so that mothers that go into the clinic will be walking on blessed ground in their moment of the crisis. The last thing I want to say about this article that really touched me, Father Michael said that the fight to end abortion is a spiritual battle. He explains, and this is the key, praise is really a weapon we can use to ward off evil. I'll repeat it. Praise to God is really a weapon we can use to ward off evil. He says, our battle is not against people, it's against demons. He continued, the devil wants to sacrifice these children. Offering prayers to God through a singing is like a blast of light that demons can't stand, said the priest. I just want to thank Father for going out to the clinic and doing that. So I wanted our folks to hear a good news story about what priests are doing at clinics. Father, did that inspire you as a priest to see that kind of reaction at the clinic when somebody brings our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament and actually does a benediction outside a clinic? Have you heard of that happening? Because I have. I've seen this happen before.
Actually, no. And I've been outside many a clinic praying the rosary with good people.
Sure.
In rain and shine and cold and heat.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen that happen.
Okay.
It's a remarkable thing.
It is. We did it with Father Peter Irving in Long Beach many times and others, and it really does work. Father Murr, I brought you on for a reason. I wanted to tell people a little bit about your own vocation, but also about some of the books you've written, your website, because I think people, I've had one of the priests, Monsignor Harris here, who says Mass for us, he read one of your books and he went, wow, Father Murr's terrific. I said, yeah, he's kind of in a secret. You don't know him, but his books are out there for people. But before we get into some of the books you've written, Father Murr, just generally speaking, you grew up in the 1950s, early 60s. Can you tell us how you found your vocation as wanting to become a priest? Was it somebody who just encouraged you? Or tell us a little bit about how you grew up.
Boy, that's a
big one.
That's a good one. There's a lot to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that.
Well, let's hear it.
First of all, I can tell you that on both sides of my family, they were practicing Catholics. Everyone was practicing Catholic. I had a couple aunts who were a Protestant of some sort,
mm-hmm.
but they also went to Mass.
Wow.
They didn't receive communion, of course, but yeah. My world was Catholic. All right? It was a beautiful, beautiful time and a beautiful education,
mm-hmm.
and development and upgrowing,
mm-hmm.
upgrowth. What happened to me was, first of all, we always had priests at our home.
Ah, that's important.
There was always a Jesuit overnight for one or two nights. My father would give him one of the cars, and always somebody like that. And it was great because these were great men. They were just great men.
Well, that tells me that, yeah.
Yeah, they would have a priest with us at dinner table, and to talking about spiritual things and what was happening in the missions and this, that, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was all great. How frank do you want me to be?
Well, you know, I want you just to tell me how the call came for the priesthood. I mean, I see a good example, but...
I'll tell you how the call came, and it might surprise you too, Terry.
I probably will, and that's what I like, surprises.
I'm not going to get into all of the details,
right.
But after high school, in college, I'll just say it this way. I was scandalized. By a priest.
Wow.
I really was.
Back then, even.
Yeah. And this is like 1969, 90.
Oh, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
And I became so angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, everything, this was the time of change. Everything mm-hmm. was changing. Everything was changing.
Right.
I saw a lack of respect. First of all, his personal life was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
and I came to find that out. But his faith in the Eucharist, he had lost.
Oh, no.
Faith in the, just everything. And I reacted to that poorly. I should have been more mature.
Yeah.
I walked away from the church. I said, that's enough.
I can see why. Yeah.
And, it was bad. But anyway, without getting into detail, I went after college to Rome, and I went to Rome really to study philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to study philosophy as part of pre-law.
Mm-hmm.
I finished university studies in Romance languages,
mm-hmm.
and with Latin and Italian and Spanish and everything else. So I went to Rome to study philosophy. While I was there, And then I was going to come back to the United States to go into law school. We also have, besides priests at our home always, a couple of my father's closest friends were lawyers. And both of them one night, I was interested in becoming a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Both of them told me that they both had, at that time, degrees in philosophy.
Wow.
They had a philosophy degree, then they went to law school.
I can see why.
And one who was our state senator, Art Gillen, was a fantastic man and a good friend of my dad's, mm-hmm. told me Aristotelian logic.
Yep.
Aristotelian logic. And I remember sitting at the dining room table.
What's that?
Took a piece of paper at the dining room table. What's that?
I love that. That's great.
Yeah, that's almost lost. But he showed me with logic.
Yes.
How he could, with the help of God too, in a court case, get to the answer he wanted mm-hmm. from even a hostile witness.
Wow.
Just by asking this, then you go to that, then you go to there. It was fantastic. I was fascinating.
I bet.
Fascinated. And I really wanted to study philosophy. All right. So I finished university, went to Rome to study philosophy. And I was in Rome as a lay student and studying philosophy at the Angelicum,
mm-hmm.
Thomistic philosophy, which is Aristotelian philosophy in space,
mm-hmm.
and Platonic. In 1974, there came a priest to the college I was living at, an Italian priest, who took me, I guess, under his wing.
Good.
Really. Became a good friend, a fantastic man, very strong man. He had just come back from the missions, and the Pope had named him a papal secretary in the Secretariat of State.
Wow.
Brilliant man. He was an engineer before he went into the priesthood, and then got a doctorate also in theology from the Gregorian University.
Hmm.
He started talking to me about the gift of friendship and about human love as it relates to divine love.
Beautiful.
Incredibly deep. You know, I can't express this to people, but we would go out after dinner at night for a cup of coffee, a mm-hmm. cappuccino or something,
sure.
and a little bit of a walk. The discussions that we had, the topic was fantastic.
Father Murr, we're going to take a quick break. I want to hear more about how that Italian priest touched you, about your priesthood. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Father Charles Murr is telling us his vocation story. And boy, it's going to be a good one. You can't wait. I can't either. We'll be right back to finish that one up on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. It's actually Terry Barber and Father Charles Murr. He's giving me a great story about how he was in Rome and an Italian priest was walking with him and, you know, giving him some advice. And Father, why don't you continue that story? Because I'm at the edge of my chair.
Well, I wouldn't be at the edge of my chair if I were you.
I like it.
Yeah, but we developed a great friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was 13 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So was and you know what? I'll put it quite simply.
Yeah.
He was the older brother that I never had.
There you go.
I was the oldest. The oldest of. Actually, of eight, one was lost in childbirth, mm-hmm. right? But of seven siblings, of seven children.
Yes.
And I was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great position to be the oldest in a family, and it's not so great.
That's cute.
But you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And those who are eldest in a family understand it very well. All the responsibility seems on you to give the example and everything else.
Right.
Well, I never had an older brother, and I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when I look at my life, most of my closest friends are 8 to 15 years older than I am.
That's
both men and women.
Yeah.
I enjoy people who have more experience.
That's where I was going to go.
Share more.
Yep.
I found even my own peers, I don't know. I mean, we had good times and all, and I had friends who were peers, but it wasn't the same. There wasn't that profundity.
Yep.
Anyway, this priest really, he took me under his wing and was very kind to me, very patient. And all of the, he was also sort of inviting that I start thinking of having a priestly vocation. I told him my whole life story, and I guess I didn't scandalize him enough that he said I shouldn't be a priest.
That's funny.
We were walking one night it was at 10 o'clock at night. We kept walking. We were walking through the Trastevere and down to the Sant'Angelo Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then into St. Peter's Square. And when we got to St. Peter's Square, it was 10:30 or 10:45 at night. And he said, "Give me your confession." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Why don't you make a good general confession of your life?" He said, "I know most of it already. You've told me."
I love
it. Make a good general confession of your life.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
Good.
I did. We were round and around in the square. It was very strange because nobody was there. It was night. The only lights that were on were the lamps around the fountains.
Sure.
At the end, he said, "You know what a vocation means?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "It's a calling." He said, "Have you heard a calling? Have you received a calling?" And I said, "I don't think so. I don't think so. I would have heard it. I would have heard it," I said. And he said to me, "Charlie Murr, I want you to be a priest."
Wow.
Then he said to me, he said, "Did you hear that?"
I love it.
He said, You were just called.
I think that's great.
He said, a lot of people have to depend on the voice of God or what they imagine the voice of God to be. He said, but you actually heard it. I just called you.
That is awesome.
Anyway,
that's a great story.
And the short of the story was that after a few more years of theology, I went on to theology. I was ordained in Rome for the new diocese of San Juan de los Lagos, which was Guadalajara, Mexico, and I was to stay in Rome and be a co-worker with this very same Monsignor in the Vatican. I had already
in
the Vatican for 5 years, and so with that friendship, I got to meet. I was ordained by Cardinals Felici and Gagnon.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Cardinal Odi very well.
Oh my goodness!
Benelli.
Wow!
And so we, I mean, to kind of hang. I think of it now. I said, "Wow, what a what an amazing! I mean, what amazing opportunities!"
Sure.
How stupid I was at the time. I didn't think they were anything, you know, so fantastic. I mean, I knew they were special. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah.
But it, not so special as they actually are. Anyway. Everything was good. And, the Archbishop of Guadalajara came to Rome again. And he said, for my last year, I'm 74 years old. He said, I'd like you to come to Mexico, mm-hmm. even though you're going to be working in Rome. He said, I want you to come to Mexico and know the diocese for which you're ordained.
Wow.
Because to tell you the truth, I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for 1 year. And in that year, I started collecting kids,
yep.
orphan kids,
yep.
street kids.
Sure.
And rather than 1 year, it turned into 14 years.
Unbelievable.
Gone.
Wow.
And I built an orphanage for those kids.
Yes.
Educated them as well as I could. And
God bless you, Father.
And helped them out. And when the Cardinal of Guadalajara, our Cardinal in Guadalajara, who was yeah. a great friend of mine,
yeah.
Juan Jesus Posadas, was assassinated.
Oh no!
He went to the airport to pick up the papal nuncio. In his car, two men came up and put 14 bullets into his body, into his torso, mm-hmm. and a coup de grace through his head.
Oh my gosh!
When that happened, and he was my great supporter there, I got a call a few days afterwards from John Cardinal O'Connor,
yes,
of New York.
Sure.
And he said, why don't you think of leaving there and come to New York?
Wow.
Well, I did.
Yes.
I did, exactly. And so I was in New York. Then anyway, it goes on,
Father,
and on and on.
Your story is amazing, but you know what it ties into me? For me, I know more about you, but the books that you've written, some of those contacts that you had when you were a younger man came through later. And what I'd like to, if you're okay with this, can you share a little bit with our listeners some of the books that you've written? But you've also had a great relationship with one of the Holy Father's secretaries, and that fascinated me also. Can you share a little bit about that with our listeners?
Sure, sure. I should tell anybody who's interested in my books. Yeah. I don't know why you would be.
Yeah, I would.
You are.
Go to his website.
There's the first book that I wrote is called The Society of Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And I
I've got
put
it.
A caveat on that.
Yeah.
I should put a caveat on that.
Okay.
This is not for everybody to read.
No.
Okay. First of all, it's not for young people.
No.
And secondly, some of the language and the situations are strong. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make a decision when I was writing that book. It wasn't an easy one. I had to decide whether to dress everything up or to present it as it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And I opted for presenting it as it actually was, the way people spoke.
Yes.
Some of it is a
little rough.
Nah,
that's rough. How I see it.
I think somebody who did me a great favor by reviewing the book from Ignatius Press said, Ignatius Insight said, Charles Olson, you know him.
Yes, of course.
He used the word, some of the language is raw.
Oh, I called salty, but raw. Yeah, raw. Okay.
I think that's a good.
Yeah.
So, and it's not for everybody.
No.
I'm telling you that right now. It's
yeah.
about betrayal and it's about betrayal.
Yeah.
But the second book after that I wrote is called The Godmother.
Yes.
And the title is The Godmother because it is about Mother Pascalina Leonhardt, who was Pope Pius XII's personal secretary.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
42 years.
Yes.
And she and I were great friends for the last 8 years of her life.
Wow.
She was I really loved this woman. Mm-hmm. And she again, she took me on as sort of a spiritual son, or maybe a spiritual grandson.
Yes.
I don't know. But she was magnificent. And what I did was I did my best to write the conversations that she and I had on many different subjects over those 8 years.
Fantastic.
And I put them into the book, and they're called The Godmother because she was my godmother for ordination to priesthood.
Unbelievable.
When I was ordained in Rome, she decided that it should be the 13th of May, 1977.
Oh, my God.
It was Friday the 13th
Fatima.
Of May. Because it was the Feast of Fatima, but also because that was when Eugenio Pacelli, who was, later became Pius XII, yeah. was made a bishop. I don't know if you know this. But at the same time of the apparition of Fatima
yes.
in Portugal, Eugenio Pacelli, Pacelli mm-hmm. was being made consecrated a bishop in the Sistine Chapel in Rome.
I did not know that.
The very same day of the Fatima apparition.
Wow.
Okay? So she chose the date for my ordination and was marvelous in the whole thing, and a great friend. Anyway, The Godmother is a book that I wrote about our conversations. There's another book that I've got coming out, I think, in 2 weeks. The title of it is Memoirs of an Unwed Father.
Mm-hmm.
That would be me.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's a lot of the stories, they're short stories.
They're good ones.
They're short stories. A lot of them have to do with the orphanage in Mexico and the great times there. Then then there's one in Spanish that I wrote, Lo Esencial. It's I do some work with in prisons, and especially with the Spanish speaking mm-hmm. in the prison system. And it would be translated as The Essential. What it is a basic Baltimore catechism, but
Amen.
In Spanish.
Yep.
So that these men can learn their faith. And I've got a new book that I'm writing right now, Terry.
Tell us.
It should be out, I don't know, maybe 6 months, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book describing the circumstances, and this is firsthand, surrounding the death of Pope John Paul I.
Oh, boy. I know the story because you've told it here on Terry and Jesse's show. Hey, when we come back, I want Father to talk a little bit about the book, The Godmother, and some of the stories he heard from Mother regarding evangelization. We'll be back with much more with Father Charles Murr on the Terry and Jesse show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. You're going to want to hear this story.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse will be out for the next 5 days. I've been trying to get Catholic priests who give us their story of how they found their vocation to being priests. And why am I doing this? Because I think it's important that we inspire, especially these young men who see the church right now being wounded by bad example. I mean, Cardinal Foley said that the number one problem with evangelization is scandal is undermining evangelization. Now, Father Murr told us earlier in the show about how scandal bothered him in his faith and actually made him leave the faith. He's back now studying philosophy, and he gets a on fire Italian priest to say, hey, have you thought about becoming a priest? You're being called. And now, Father Murr, for people who want to get any of the books, number of books, and I like this, the Godmother book. How can they get that book? Do they just go to Amazon and put your name down? Is that how they can find your books?
Yeah, if they just go to Amazon.com.
That's what I figured.
On Amazon, mm-hmm. And you'd find the name of the book, The Godmother.
Yes.
Which would, I think everybody would like that. It's a good book. It's informative, and it's humorous.
Yeah.
And it's touching, and it's also educational.
Yes.
Don't you think so, Terry?
Especially
I mean,
the story.
You learn a lot.
I did. Father. One of the stories that really impressed me in that book was when Communist China in 1949 threw out all the Catholic priests, the Jesuits, all the priests and the bishops. They were being persecuted there. And I think Chinese archbishop or cardinal, I'm not sure which it was, but he was a bishop, and he wanted to visit the Holy Father because he took off and left his flock to go to New York and, you know, be safe. But my understanding is the story in your book talked about that mother actually spoke to the archbishop or cardinal and kind of gave him some, words of wisdom, and he probably didn't like it, but can you share that story with us? Because I was inspired by it.
I sure can. Let's see where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Father, Pius XII, was eager to make the College of Cardinals international.
Yes.
All right? They were always... They were top-heavy with Italians.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Right? That was the problem. And he wanted it opened up to more nations. They had enough Americans, this, that, and the other thing, French and what have you. But he finally found, according to his search, a good candidate for, we used to call it Peking, China,
mm-hmm.
in China. I'm trying to remember Thomas Tien, I think was the name of the man. Anyway, he made him a cardinal,
mm-hmm.
and much to Pope Pius's joy,
yes.
He was very happy with this, and it showed the international. It showed the Catholicity of the Church.
Universal.
Let me put it that way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, when the Communist Revolution
yes.
took place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how people are not aware of this, because if we don't learn our history,
yes,
we're condemned to repeat it, right?
Amen.
When the communists took over China, it was horrible for the church.
Right.
Horrible. Unlike today, not unlike today, let me put it that way.
Exactly.
Catholics were killed for their faith. The priests were killed, put into concentration camps. With all of this happening, with Mao Zedong taking over in China, mm-hmm. this cardinal escaped China mm-hmm. and went to go see Pope Pius XII. I'm not sure exactly what he was expecting.
Yeah, really.
A marvelous reception or somebody to pat him on the head and say, you poor, poor, poor thing, how did you escape with your life? We're so fortunate. But he arrived at the Vatican unannounced after he had escaped China. And they told the Pope that the Cardinal of the King, Peking was downstairs, wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. And that he had escaped persecution in China, prison, even death. Mm-hmm. Pius XII was so perturbed, angry,
yes,
with this, because, well, I'll tell you why. He, first of all, he called in Mother Pascalina, mm-hmm. his private secretary, this fantastic Bavarian nun. She never liked calling herself German. She
I was can Bavarian. See why. Yeah, okay.
So he called her in. That they had a friendship that was fantastic and deeply spiritual for 42 years. Mm-hmm. He said, would you go down and receive the cardinal? I should go down and receive a cardinal? He said, yes. Ask him why he thinks he's dressed in red. Why he thinks he's dressed in red? Is it a clown suit that he has on? Right? He said, please remind him, Mother, that the reason he accepted becoming a cardinal, and the reason that he's dressed in red is that at any given time, he said that he was disposed to shed his blood for the Catholic faith.
Wow.
Ask him what he's doing here. Why is he here mm-hmm. and not in prison in China or dead in China? Why is he here? Right? Well, she was all upset that she had. He said, you do it. He said, coming from a woman, it might even hit him deeper.
Yeah, I think so.
He said, you tell him the Pope is not going to receive him. You tell him that. Well, she went down and told him.
Yeah.
Of course, the humiliation of this man's life was. I don't know what he was thinking, that he was going to receive an audience with the Pope or something. Unfortunately, I mean, he never went back to China.
No.
He went. He retired immediately to Chicago, Illinois, and lived there and died there. But it was a great disappointment to Pope Pius XII, because his ideal was, I want men, especially as cardinals, who seriously, we're no longer in the Renaissance,
yeah,
where we're talking about lovely banquets and beautiful music surrounding our dining experience as a cardinal. Mm-hmm. We're talking about men. He said, I want men who would willingly give their blood, their lives,
absolutely,
for Christ. And unless I have, unless those are the men, the College of Cardinals is not going to work. Well, I think we've seen that also in modern day,
we have,
modern times.
We have, Father.
Right,
you're,
we have. Unfortunately, you know, we have to keep remembering that the church is made up of human beings.
That's right.
That we're never going to get this whole story of Christ and the invitation to sanctity perfectly well. It's not going to happen in this life.
Right.
However, we've got to strive for that, and we've got to know it quite clearly. Pius XII made it clear,
mm-hmm.
I think, with that story. Yeah.
And now, Father, your books, again, you can go to Amazon.com and just put Father Charles Murr, and you can get several other books from Father. Father,
or you can also do this. Mm-hmm. I've got a website.
Oh, good. Let's give
a great friend of mine who worked for Ignatius Press designed it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's www.charlesmurr.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Father,
it's a website where I've got there's a gallery of photos of those days, and it's kind of neat. You can also get the books there.
Yes,
they're noted there.
Father, for a young man today, with all of the confusion going on, finding a good seminary is not as easy as some might think. What advice would you give a young man today if he says, you know, I want to serve Christ in his church, I see the church, you know, needing good holy priests? What advice would you give a young man today? That's a big
one. Well, let's go back just a moment, if you would
sure.
if you would
we
let
have 4 minutes.
Me permit me to do this just for a moment to my story.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back on it,
yes,
I was so angry mm-hmm. with a particular priest that one of the reasons I became a priest,
right,
seriously,
scandal,
was to undo the harm that he was doing.
Wow. Well, we got that now.
Okay, I mean that. Yeah. I mean that.
Yes.
I mean that. That was a motivating force, not the motivating force, but a strong motivating force in my vocation to undo what he and others that I knew about were mm-hmm. doing.
Well, that makes sense.
And a lot of it had. You know, I'm not simply talking about the moral thing, which was not good. Yeah. I'm talking about what they were doing to the faith.
Yes.
They were destroying the Catholic faith, and they knew what they were doing, and they did a fantastic job of it. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
They destroyed the faith in a lot of people. They were very good at that.
Yes.
One of the reasons that motivated me to becoming a priest was to undo.
Thank you.
What they were doing, and I wanted to be a priest. Right. I wanted to be a priest to get into the battle with the right armor.
I love it.
That was it.
And that's what I want to tell young men today. Get into the battle, guys. And if you need to find a good seminary, call me at my cell phone. I'll take care of you. 661-972-7872. Because we need good men right now to renew the church. And you know what? The way the priest goes is the way the church goes, in my humble opinion.
True.
Father Mert, final thought. Could you just give us your priestly blessing for all our families and people that are listening today?
Terry, I would do that with pleasure.
Awesome.
Dominus vobiscum.
Ecum spiritu
tuum. Et benedictio Dei, omnipotentis, patris, et filii, et spiritus sancti, descendat super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Father. Last question I'm going to ask you.
Terry.
You know what the question I'm going to ask you is. We talk about what state we should be living in. I know you're a listener, so you're going to know the right answers. Father Murr, for all of our listeners, what state should we all be living in?
The state of grace, not Chicago, Illinois.
Amen, brother. Amen. And I want to also remind everybody the five stones of David. Get the confession often. Get the Mass as often as possible. Pray your rosary. More souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. This is Friday. Going to go get my bean and cheese burrito. No meat today. And I want to thank Father Murr for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Next week, we're going to have all kinds of Catholic priests like Father Murr who are in love with Jesus Christ and have served the church through their holy priesthood. They've helped so many souls get to heaven. And I want to thank Father Murr from the bottom of my heart that he said yes to Jesus for his priesthood. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for supporting Virgin Most Powerful. You know why? We wouldn't be here without you. Go to our podcast. You can listen to all the shows anytime, anywhere. May God richly bless you, and I hope you have a great weekend. And get ready for next week when we talk to five separate priests. Father Murr, thanks again for joining us. We'll have a great lineup. Up next, now talking about priests. Father will be talking, actually Deacon Steve will be having a great priest on who's got a great story of his conversion, and you'll recognize his name. We'll be back with another show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.